Well, it is good to be here, and it is hard to believe that it's our last time together. And Vernon was up here talking about other guys, but I want to just say for him and Herb, they've done an incredible job in putting this thing together. Let's give them a big hand. And Dan, that's right, and Dan. Loyal wasn't in here earlier, but. Yeah, appreciate all that you guys have invested in this morning. And this morning, as I was just thinking back over some of the things that we've been talking about over the last months, and we've talked a lot about a man and the journey that we find ourselves on as men through life. And we've talked about a number of different things. We talked about relationships with our dad and our mom, and some of the woundings that come out of that, and we talked quite a bit about relationships with our wives and our children, and what we are called to as men in those relationships. And so we've been walking through sort of the journey, and I think it's fitting for us this last lesson. Right at first, I was like, "What? I don't understand really how this is going to fit into what we're talking about." But the more I looked at it, the more I realized the importance of this last lesson. Sort of in the last lesson here, we're taking a step back and taking an overall look at our life journey. And for us as men sometimes, that's a little hard for us to do. We tend to just want to keep on going and plowing through our lives. But first of all, just in talking a little bit, like I said, just to take a step back and look at the big picture. What's going on in our lives? What are the places that we've been? Where are we headed? And most importantly, where are we now? And I want to come back to that a little bit later on. But I don't know if any of you, how many of you have ever been lost in life? Like, you've been totally lost. Okay, number of you. I know what it's like to be lost as well. When I was young, we did a lot of coon hunting in the woods in Michigan. And one night in particular, we were coon hunting, and our dogs took us on an incredible chase. I don't know what they were chasing, but I know one thing, it wasn't coon, because coon don't act like our dogs were acting that night. And so they took us on this incredible chase, and when we finally got our dog, we had no clue where we were. We were in a woods that we weren't familiar with. We never took compass with us because we always, my brothers and I did the hunting, and we always had a sense of direction where we were going. We usually never got lost, but this night we got lost. And I tell you, when you're in the middle of the woods and it's pitch black, and you don't know which way to go, it's a little unnerving. And we finally listened and thought that off in the distance we could hear a road. And we could hear traffic on a road. And so we just took off in that direction. And eventually we got to the road. And after getting our bearings and figuring out where we were, we realized that we had gone the opposite direction of where we needed to go. So we walked for miles that night. Down the road and to another road across the ways and then back to where our vehicle was. But the feeling of being lost is incredible when you have no idea where to go. And I think for us as men, I know for myself, sometimes I find myself there as a man. In the journey of life, sometimes I find myself just sort of lost. Like, I don't know where I am. I don't know where I've been. And I'm not sure which direction to head. And I think we can all identify with that as men. Maybe some of you have never felt that as a man, but I know I have. As I've journeyed through things in life, I've felt that. And sometimes, as men, it's hard for us to stop and ask direction when we are lost and when we don't know which way to go. We as men, it's just hard for us to ask for directions, and that's well known. And there's a joke about and supposedly it's a funny story actually of of a biology class in California, and at the end of the section where the professor was talking about human reproduction, they had a Q&A time, and in this Q&A time, he asked the students, as this was going on, he said, "I have one question for you guys as students as we come through this section of our biology, the reproduction part of human beings." He said, "Why does a lady have one or two eggs and a man has millions of sperm?" And one bright student in the back, it was a female, raised her hand and said, "Because the sperm don't ask for directions either." And so I think it's sort of in our genes, if you can put it that way, that we as men, we just don't ask for directions. I don't know about you, I don't. It's hard for me to stop and ask for directions. But one thing I will do is pull out a map. And I'll find a section of two roads, an intersection with two roads, and I'll pull out a map, which gives me an overview of where I'm at. I can pinpoint where I am in the moment. I can tell where I've been, but I can also tell where I need to go. My one daughter started driving, and I got a call about 10:30 at night one night. And this is actually what it was. She said, "Hey, Dad, how do I get home?" And what am I supposed to say to that? I said, "Well, where are you?" "I have no idea." I said, "Well, how am I supposed to tell you how to get home?" I said, what road are you on?" She said, "I don't know. But how do I get home?" So I finally had to tell her, "Drive to an intersection and tell me what roads you're on." And then I got a picture of where she was at, and I could tell her how to get home from there. And so often in our lives as men, we don't know where we're at. We don't know the intersection that we're at. We don't know what we're going to be facing, what's ahead of us, and we don't know which direction to go because of that. I think it's important that we step back and take a look at some questions. Where are we as men? What have we already gone through? And what's up ahead? What are we going to be facing? What are we going to look at? What are we going to be going through as men? And one of the tools of that in your books is the life cycle map. And it's basically a tool that was developed in 1978 by a research team from Yale. They spent 10 years observing men in different stages of their life, different things that they were going through, different things that they were facing. And they spent 10 years looking at them through the four different stages of life. And their conclusions became a national bestseller, which is in your manual there, The Seasons of a Man's Life by Daniel Levinson. And I want to just do an overview of that. Actually, in that book, they ended up comparing what a man goes through for the four to the four seasons that we experience in nature: spring, summer, fall, and winter. And I'm just going to give you. I'm going to give this real quick, and then go back and talk about it some. You can fill these out in your books, but these are the different stages. Sorry, I didn't finish that there. But basically, a little overview is that from they compared childhood and adolescence, or from about 0 to 22 years old, to spring. And actually, I want you to catch this. I'm going to come back and talk about it a little bit later. But in here, as you transition from here, the reason these numbers are different here is as you go from one stage to another, there's a time of transition, and for the first, it's about 17 to 22 years old is when the real time of transition happens, and I'm going to come back and talk about that a little more. But then the time of transition, when you go from early adulthood to middle adulthood, or from summer to fall, is 40 to 45 years, And then also the transition time from fall to winter is sometime in 60 to 65 years old. And I think these transition points are pretty key for us to get a hold of this morning, because it's a time of uncertainty in our lives. And most of us would put a major transition time in our lives about right here. And that's what we call puberty. And when we go from being a child to our sexual pieces coming alive to us as men. But actually, these transitions here are pretty major for us as well. And I want to come back and talk about that a little bit later on. But the springtime of our lives, it's a season when a boy grows up into a man, physically speaking. It's where we begin to learn about life and how life is and how life works. And actually, it's a time of discovering our design, who God's created us to be as a man, and how He's created us to be in as far as personalities and who we are, who we're going to be as we go through life. The springtime of our year is just a from 0 to 22 is just where we go through that. We're learning, we're growing, we're maturing, and at least physically. If we're going to grow and mature beyond that, whether we'll become a man in the way we think and the way we act is going to depend on a couple of things in our lives. One is the kind of vision that we've been given for manhood. The kind of vision that our parents have laid out for us. Or maybe we've caught on to someone else who has an incredible and we've a view of life and a vision for life and what it means to be a man. But if we're going to grow and mature in as a man in the way that we act and think, it's going to depend on the kind of vision that we have. If we don't have any vision for what manhood is and what we can become as men, we're going to do a lot of floundering. We're going to spend a lot of years just floundering in our lives. And there's not many men that are in that stage here this morning, a few. And some guys that are coming on here a little bit later. But they need to catch, if we haven't caught in those years the vision for what it is for a man, we're gonna struggle in life. The other thing is whether he has a code of conduct that will breathe life into him. If we don't have a code of conduct, by the way, a code of conduct by which we live our lives that's life-giving, if that isn't developed in these early years, we're going to struggle pretty majorly through the rest of our life. And the third thing is whether we have a cause bigger than himself. If we're growing up through this time in our life, or if our children are growing up right now, for some of us, we're beyond that. But if we don't have a cause beyond ourselves, we're not going to grow and mature very well through that period, through the spring period of our lives. I'm amazed at how true that is. And all of us can probably name people that we know this morning that through these years, their cause has been no bigger than themselves. Life revolves around them. Or us, if it's us. That's all that life is about. It's about their pleasure. It's about what they want to accomplish in life. It's about making them feel good. And that, if a child grows up, if we have grown up with a cause no bigger than ourselves, we will not mature and grow and develop in the way we think and act. We won't grow into manhood in the way that we think and act through this period of our lives. And then we move from this period of our lives, the spring, into the summer. But this transition period here is pretty crucial, because it's a time when we are no longer sure about us, about life, and our abilities, all that kind of thing. You know, it's interesting to me, and it's also a time where we're transitioning out of this young person into adulthood. And it's a time of uncertainty in our lives. And my daughter is not a man, But she's going through this period of life. It didn't make sense to me till I started studying this material. My daughter right now is in this time, my one daughter. She's beginning to rethink life, and all the things that were important to her as a child and as an adolescent, she's transitioned out of that some, but right now she's rethinking that in some pretty major ways. What is my life going to consist of from here on out? What's important for me to get involved in? What all the things that I sort of staked my life on to this point, now she's in transition, and all of us go through that, and all of us as men. We're transitioning out of what's been important to us as young people, and we're beginning to think seriously about our lives. And what am I going to be facing? What's important to me? What do I want to invest my lives in, my life in? And it's a time of uncertainty in our lives. And so often we don't understand ourselves through any of these transitions. And I'm going to talk about this one right now because that's where I am right now. You see that age range? That's a little bit what I found myself dealing with. And I want to talk about that a little more later on. But it's a time of uncertainty in our lives. And if we're not careful in those times, we can get off track and off target. And if we don't process through those transition times very well, and actually as we move beyond, if we don't transition very well, it's crucial for us later on. And I will come back and talk about that some more later on. But from there, from spring, we move into summer, early adulthood. It's a time of courage and strength and power, not necessarily wisdom. It's not a time of, you know, where we necessarily are wise people. It's a time of courage and strength and power. I love those years. And I don't know how many of you can identify this, but I look back at my years from about 22 when I got married to the next probably 7-8 years of my life. I often referred to those as the years that I could do anything. That's sort of how I felt. Life was ahead of me. Life was good. I had my whole life ahead of me. And I felt like I could move into about anything and do anything because I had the energy, I had the strength, I had the power to move forward, and life was exciting. And that sort of summarizes these years. The only problem with it is usually around 30 in these years here, usually around the age of 30, a major crisis will happen in our lives as men. And it's where we've just spent a number of years, we've settled into the life vocation that we've thought God has called us to, or that we wanted to be in, and it may be the family business, it may be whatever, but then usually around 30, we begin asking the question, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? Do I want to stay stuck with Dad here in this business? Is the business that I'm in, the vocation that I'm working in, is this a dead-end street? And a lot of times, people at about 30 years old, and that can vary for a couple years, but go through a time of transition where they say, I don't know if the job that I've picked and the cause that I've poured my life into, I don't know if that's where I want to continue. And usually during that time, we go through a time of fear. Just a time of uncertainty and fear. And most of us, some of us have a courage to jump out of that and move into something else, but some of us stay stuck there and we're scared to move as men. And I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but in some of what I was reading, if we don't process that time in our life very well and we don't move beyond, a lot of times when we hit the midlife crisis thing here, our midlife crisis is just escalated in incredible ways because we haven't had the courage to take a step and to move beyond where we felt like we were stuck. And then when we hit midlife crisis, we say, why in the world? And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But it's a time of, that's a time of incredible energy. We often approach life like this. When life comes at it, we approach it by saying, well, I can fix this by working harder. How many of you can identify with that? I can really identify that. When I was young, it was nothing for me to work all night long. I would work at a period in my time. I had my own business for a short period of time, and it was nothing for me to work all day, spend a couple hours with my family in the evening, and work all night. And sometimes I would get in a vehicle and travel to Indiana or wherever I was going the next day. I approached life by, as it came at me, I just worked harder. I had the energy, I was able to do it, and I just worked. That's how I approached life. Everything that came at me, you just work harder. And most of us, through that period of life, that's how we approach life. We're feeling good. Things are great. From there, we move into the fall season, or the area of 40 to 65, 40 to 60, basically. This season can be the most productive season in our lives. It's the time when we're on center stage. We've processed through a lot of things in life. We have a lot of experiences. We've gone through a lot of things. Our life has taken an incredible turn through those years. And all of a sudden, through in the time from 40 to 60, it's when we're most productive. We have a list of things that we've accomplished. Our resume is full. We have lots of connections. We can get through life really good. It's also a time of reevaluation. This transition time right here is what most people term as midlife crisis. It's a time when we begin reevaluating our lives and saying, "I realize I'm on the downhill slope from here. I've been on the peak, and now all of a sudden I'm going to be going down the other side, because if I live to be 80, I'm halfway done with my life at that time." But it can be a time of reevaluation of our lives. Patrick Morley, in his book, The Seven Seasons of a Man's Life, says that for a man to be truly successful through this time of his life, and this isn't in your notes there, He needs to be able to answer 10 questions affirmative. In other words, if we want this period of our life to be effective, the most effective period in our life, we have to be able to answer these 10 questions. And these are the 10 questions. Am I performing a fulfilling work? Is the work that I'm involved in fulfilling to me? Does it meet what I'm looking for? Am I a good provider? Am I doing everything possible to help my children become responsible adults? Am I building a strong, loving marriage? Am I doing everything possible to introduce my family to faith in Christ? Am I investing in other people's lives as a friend, counselor, accountability partner, and mentor? Am I living a life of good deeds and making a contribution to my community? Am I living a life of integrity? Am I walking close to my Lord Jesus Christ? And the last one is, will I go to heaven when I die? If we can answer yes to those questions, this stage in our life, I'm sorry, right here, is going to be very productive for us. If it's not, it's not going to be. We're going to find ourselves asking these kind of questions. If we haven't laid that kind of a foundation building up to it, we're going to find ourselves asking these questions, because we've realized that instead of this time of our life being productive, our life could unravel on us in some pretty incredible ways, because we don't have the foundation laid that should have been laid up to this point. And we're going to find ourselves asking these kind of questions. Am I stuck here for the rest of my life? In our job, in whatever we find ourselves. Is this where I'm stuck for the rest of my life? Is this how it feels to get old? I've actually asked that question, and I feel like I have a pretty good foundation. But I found myself asking these questions. Is this what it feels like to get older? All of a sudden, you know, when I really sky, when I'm playing basketball and jump my highest, I get about this high off the ground. And I think I've just soared somewhere. But, you know, is this what it feels like to get old? Is this what it's like? Is anything worth it? What's worth it in life? Is there anything that's worth it? Why can't I understand myself? Will I ever get a promotion? Do I really even want it, a promotion? Where has all my former confidence gone? When I'm old, will I become like my father? Why do I feel so very, very lonely? Yeah, if we don't have a good foundation, that's going to be pretty huge for us. Why do I feel so very, very lonely, even when I have lots of friends? Why does God feel so distant, so uncaring, so silent? Are my kids ever going to get out of their troubles? And the last one, did I really marry the right person in the first place? If we haven't built on that foundation, those are the questions we're going to be wrestling with through that time. The transition time for that is, like I said, 40 to 45. And it is a time of uncertainty and reevaluating. And that's actually where I find myself right now in my own life. It's a time of, and I realized I was in midlife crisis. I told my wife the other day not to be surprised if I drive in with a Harley and a red convertible Mustang. She wasn't sure how to handle that one. But anyway, I said I'll let the ponytail off, but the rest might come. But I realize I'm in that period in my life right now where I'm beginning to reevaluate what I've done up to this point. There's a couple of things. In the last number of years, I began to realize that my approach to life and what I said earlier, by as life comes at me, I just work harder. And I think that's natural for us as men. I think most of us have that tendency through those years. But in the last number of years, I began to realize that that doesn't work for me anymore. I can't just work harder. Some of it is because my physical limitations. I realize I'm getting older physically. I can't work all-nighters like I used to. I can't do those kind of things. And all of a sudden, the way I've handled life begins to crowd in on me. And instead of me just being able to work harder, I have to begin to reevaluate and say, what in the world am I doing with my life? Because my life is passing me by. I can't just work harder and harder and get through whatever's coming at me. And so it's a time of reevaluation, actually, for me. I didn't even understand this till I started what I was going through till I started digging into this material. But it makes sense to me. I'm beginning to say, hey, what have I poured my life into the next 20 years of my life? What's going to be out there for me? I know I can't do what I've done before. I'm moving beyond that. I'm moving on the downhill slope physically, even emotionally. I can't take what it... When I was young, I used to say, I don't understand why we have kids when we're young. Why in the world can't we have kids when we're 40, where we know a little more what's going on in life? I understand now, because I wouldn't have what it takes to just have just started raising a family right now. I don't think I would have what it takes to do that emotionally, because I'm on the downhill slide of things. And my life is much more hectic now than it was when I was younger as well. But we begin to realize our limitations as men. And let me say this, I'm not going to come back to this later on, I'm not going to talk about much about this transition. But one of the key things in our lives is that we transition well between these things. Actually, I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to come back to that later on at the end of my thing. But we have to be able to work through the things that each one of these stages throw at us and evaluate. It's important that I work through this time right now of transition. I'm right in this right here, 40 to 45. And it's important for me to understand what's going on with my life. If I wouldn't understand it, and in fact, I've been here in the last year, What in the world's going on with me? Why am I feeling what I'm feeling? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why all of a sudden all the things that I was so certain of here, now I'm uncertain of as I'm wrestling through. But really what's going on is I'm going through a time of reevaluation. And I'm not different than any one of you guys here. You're all going to face this. We're all going to go through this time of thing. It may vary a little bit as we walk through it. And it's going to be different in some ways for each one of us. We have our own story. But it's a life journey that we're on and that we're going to be going through. From summer, we move to winter. And this can be a difficult time in a man's life. It can be a time, too, of a lot of production. But it can also be a very difficult time. It's when a man from 60 on begins to realize that he's moving off of center stage. The majority of the contribution that he has given to life has already happened. He can't go back and redo a lot of things. He doesn't have the energy to go back and pour and invest into life like he had at 20 and 30 and even at 40. But he's moving off of center stage. His body doesn't perform like it did at 20 and 30, and it can be a really tough time. And he begins to ask questions like, what now? What is left in life? Where is my place? And where can I still be effective? He begins to wrestle with letting go. I've been involved in this business, or I've poured my life into this, and all of a sudden I have to begin to let go and pass it off to the next generation, the younger ones that are coming on. It can be an incredible time of wrestling through that time. But it can also be a very rewarding time. I was thinking of some of the men that I admire most in life. And it's guys that through this time have been incredibly productive with their lives. A couple guys came to my mind. One is Claire Schnupp from Northern Youth Programs, who, Vernon, how old is he? 75 years old, is still flying all over the Antarctic, bringing the gospel and seminars and those kind of things to the Indian people. At 75 years old, he could be in Florida playing shuffleboard, and I'm not knocking that. I've done that already, so, and I'm not near his age, so. But I'm just saying, could I get a cup of water? I'm just saying, guys that instead of doing that have been incredibly productive. Another one is Walter Beachy. I don't know how many of you guys know him, but at about the same age is traveling all over the U.S., just pouring his life into church, actually all over the world, going across to some other countries, and I think he would admit that those years, the last probably 10, 15 years of his life, has been some of the most fulfilling times of his life. In all his ministry, in all his years of pastoring, thank you, Laura. When in the last part of his life, he could be slowing down, and he's doing some of that, but is incredibly productive in the latter years of his life. And I admire men like that, who at that age are willing to just pour their lives into and make those years productive. Well, that's a little bit just an overview of the cycle there. And you may ask, why do we talk about this, and why do we spend time talking about it? Because I don't know about you, but just sometimes getting an overview of what life is going to bring us can change our perspective. And as we walk through it, we're not saying, oh, I'm weird about what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with. And I want to back up now and talk a little bit about transitioning from one to the other. One of the reasons these transition points are so huge for us, and actually understanding the different cycles that we'll go through, the spring, summer, fall, and winter, is this. If we don't deal with the issues that are thrown at us as men in each one of these cycles, if we don't adequately deal with that, as we transition from one platform to the other, we're taking an incredible amount of baggage with us as we go. Let me give you an example of that. Some of you guys have seen men and know of men at this point in their life divorce their wife, leave their family, and go out and get about a 22-year-old blonde that they hang on their shoulder, on their arm as they walk around. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about there? Guys that haven't dealt with their sexuality very well in this stage of life. And they drug that baggage with them through this stage of their life, and now all of a sudden when they hit midlife crisis, their sexuality comes out and just grabs them big time. And they make all kinds of foolish decisions and stuff, but it's because the sexuality issues weren't dealt with through this period of our life and through the transition time. And through this period is when we begin to say, is my sexuality going to master me, or am I going to master my sexuality and use it in constructive ways? And when we allow that to get out of whack here, and when we don't deal with that as men through this stage of our life, we will drag that baggage with us. And let me take it a step farther. How many of you have heard the expression of men in this age of life say they're just dirty old men? We've heard that expression. That expression is used a lot. But that is men who have not understood the cycle that they're going to be going through in life, and they haven't dealt with their sexuality in this part. And that baggage has followed them into every section of their lives. It follows them through. We need to understand this cycle in incredible ways. And deal with the things that throw at us. We need to lay foundations in this part and this part as we move on, and understand the challenges that we're going to face in these cycles and be able to deal with them so that we can move on as men. And when we reach these upper ages, we can have very productive lives. If not, the baggage, Vernon started out the session with a backpack that he pulled all kinds of stuff out, and we've been talking about wounds and all those kind of things that we need to deal with. But I tell you what, we need to deal with this stuff too and transition well between one and the other, or that baggage will follow us the rest of our life. And sexuality is just one issue that we can talk about in that. There's a lot of other issues that we can talk about, things that we need to come to grips with in those kind of things. If there's anything I want you to get a hold of this morning, it's that. It's important for us as men to understand what's coming at us. It's been incredibly helpful for me in the last couple weeks as I began looking at this to realize I'm right here, and to understand what's going on inside of me. And the questions I've been asking, I've been saying, man, is something wrong with me? And all of a sudden I'm saying, no, there's not anything wrong with me. Every one of you are going to go through that same thing as well. And be okay with the times of uncertainty in these transition times, because we all go through that. We all face that in our lives. It will be coming at us. And I hope, even in my own life, I was reflecting back. If we haven't dealt with this stuff in the age that we went through it, some of this stuff in here is what I was thinking most of. I wish I could go back right here in this age and redo a lot of my life and a lot of my focus. I just worked harder. And in there, I didn't do so well with my wife and my kids, actually, through a number of those years. Even when I didn't have my own business, there were many nights that I would come home from work and put my wife and kids to bed, and I would go back to work where I was working at that time and work till midnight, 1 o'clock, and then go crawl in bed and get up at 5:30 or 6 the next morning and do it all over again. My wife, through these years, my kids would break their arm and their collarbone, and she was the one that was sitting in the hospital with them because I had to work. I wish I could go back and redo a lot of those years. But there are issues that were thrown in my life through this time that I didn't handle very well and I didn't deal with very well. And I've had to deal with, in the later years here, then I began to deal with some of those. And I wish I could go back. But if we haven't dealt with them in the age that we should have dealt with it, it's important that we go back and still deal with those issues. Even if we find ourselves at 40 or 35 or whatever, it's important that we come back and deal with those sexuality issues in our lives. If we don't deal with those any time in our lives and put those to rest, work through them, and well, we'll never be able to put our sexuality to rest as men, but I'm talking about the issue. If we don't deal with those sometime in our life, that baggage will continue to follow us all the way through. Let me wrap up with this. As we're on the journey, I think there's three things that are important for us. One is a vital relationship with God. A commitment to being open to the journey. I think it's important that we're committed as men to be open with the journey. The third thing is friends that see beyond our facade as men. And I tell you what, we all have it. We all can put on this facade that everything is okay, that I'm doing fine in life. The truth is, most of us have issues to work on in our lives. We need to be open. Sometimes we're not open, and we need men around us that are able to look beyond the facade that we and the mask that we put on. I've asked Phil Hershberger, actually, to come and read. You know what? I'm going to need a mic up here for him. Oh, you got one. When we were in Bible school years ago, this is a poem that was floating around. It says, "Don't be fooled by me." How many of you have heard that? And Phil, actually, you did it in a program, didn't you? I think so. Yeah. Anyway, I asked him to read this. I want you guys to listen very closely as he reads it. It's an incredible piece.
Don't be fooled by me. Don't be fooled by the face I wear, for I wear a mask. I wear a thousand masks. Masks that I'm afraid to take off, and none of them are me. Pretending it is an art that's second nature with me, but don't be fooled. I give you the impression that I'm secure, that all is sunny and unruffled with me, that confidence is my name and coolness is my game, that the water's calm and I'm in command, that I need no one. But don't believe me, please. My surface may be smooth, but my surface is my mask, my ever-varying and ever-concealing mask. Beneath lies no smugness, no complacence. Beneath dwells the real me in confusion, in fear, and in aloneness. But I hide this. I don't want anybody to know it. I panic at the thought of my weaknesses and fear exposing them. That's why I frantically create my mask to hide behind. They're nonchalant and sophisticated facades to help me pretend, to shield me from the glance that knows. But such a glance is precisely my salvation, my only salvation. And I know it. That is, if it's followed by acceptance, if it's followed by love, it's the only thing that can liberate me from myself, from my own self-built prison walls. I dislike hiding, honestly. I dislike the superficial game I'm playing, the superficial phony game. I really like to be genuine and me. But I need your help, your hand to hold. Even though my master tell you otherwise, that glance from you is the only thing that assures me of what I can't assure myself, that I'm really worth something. But I don't tell you this. I don't dare. I'm afraid to. I'm afraid you'll think less of me, and you'll laugh. And your laugh would kill me. I'm afraid that deep down I am nothing, that I'm just no good. And you will see this and reject me. So I play my game, my desperate pretending game with a facade of assurance without and a trembling child within. So begins the parade of masks, the glittering but empty parade of masks, and my life becomes a front. I idly chatter to you in suave tones of surface talk, and I tell you everything that's nothing and nothing that really amounts to anything of what's crying within me. So when I'm going through my routine, do not be fooled by what I am saying. Please listen carefully and try to hear what I'm not saying. Hear what I'd like to say, but what I cannot say. It will not be easy for you. Long felt inadequacies make my defenses strong. The nearer you approach me, the blinder I may strike back. Despite what books say of men, I am irrational. I fight against the very thing that I cry out for. You wonder who I am? You shouldn't. For I am every man you meet, and I am every woman you meet. Don't be fooled by me, please.
I think that is the heart cry of every one of us. We want to be open. We want to be known. We want something beyond this facade that we wear sometimes as men. And my hope and prayer is that as we continue on in our journey as men, that we can do it openly and we can do it surrounded by men that are able to see beyond the masks that we put on and the masks that we wear as men. Thanks.